Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show. One had their eyes today on Champions League play, and I do not think for one second that you did not hear what Cristiano Ronaldo did. Three, count them, three from Cristiano Ronaldo. We will call him the savior, including two in a span of 2 minutes in the first half. Real Madrid again to the semifinals of the Champions League, overturning a 2-0 deficit to Wolfsburg. They advance 3-2 on aggregate in that one. Manchester City got a 1-0 win over PSG at the Etihad Stadium and have advanced to the semis as well. Kevin De Bruyne curling in a wonderful finish. That was about 14 minutes left. People were very nervous in that stadium. Sergio Aguero had missed a penalty kick earlier. 53,000 seeing this one. Absolute packed stadium at the Santiago Bernabeu. Unbelievable atmosphere there. And you know what? Cristiano Ronaldo lives up to it. Hits all three. Thank you for tuning in to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Again, we stream at ESPN975.com throughout the night. It's your opportunity to play a part in the show. You can call into the show at 713-780-3776. You can agree, disagree, bring a topic, but be a part of it. That's the key. Be a part of it. Podcasts available at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. And our thanks to our sponsors, 7-Up, the Copa Centenario, which will be right here in Houston, 2016. The Daspit Law Firm, Amigo Energy, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, our good friend Jan Christensen, Bud Light, the Gorgeous Gale Bar Munich, and the Houston Dynamo. So Cristiano Ronaldo living up to it today. I would like your thoughts on Champions League today, if in fact you watched some of it. So Ronaldo lives up to it. They went tight on him in the warm-up, and you could see in his eyes he was up for the moment today. It was a big moment. And this is why he's one of the greatest footballers in the world. You don't have to like what he does off the field. You might say he's overexposed, and some of you that are huge Messi fans, look, I appreciate the guy for his soccer playing ability and where he's come from and where he's gotten. The guy's a remarkable player, and he may be the greatest player on the planet right now. The early goal in the 15th and 17th minute. Talk about timing and the importance and how vital that was. He scores two goals in 88 seconds, one a tap in by getting to the back post, sharper than anybody. Header off a corner, and that sets the tone. And you thought from that moment on, it's going to be Real Madrid's day. He would hit the game winner in the 77th. It puts them through to the semifinals 3-2 on aggregate. So they turn it around. Wolfsburg could not contain Cristiano Ronaldo. He was indefensible. You couldn't defend him today. Now, go back to the Clásico. Didn't do much throughout the course of that game, but as a great player does, pops up to score the game-winning goal against Barcelona. CR7 is in form right now, and it has been all year, but he's living up to the moment here down the stretch. So that's what we had. Sergio Ramos hit the woodwork twice. Keylor Navas, who's going to be coming with Costa Rica. Huge save on Luis Gustavo from distance. If that one had gone in, Wolfsburg wouldn't have went up. On to the semis for Madrid. 58 possession to Real Madrid. 12 corners to 4. 16 shots, 7 on goal. So we'll get some thoughts on that. We can also get your thoughts on the Houston Dynamo against Seattle. What are your thoughts on that game? U.S. women 3-0 over Colombia. We can also talk about the equal employment filing that has been made for basically improved pay for the U.S. women. Carly Lloyd, one of those. The Dash will open up this weekend. The Dynamo will play on Friday night against L.A. Lots to talk about. Get in here on 713-780-3776, and we will go to the phone lines. Cole, you're up first. What's up, Cole?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going?
Very good, sir.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch the Champions League game today, so I won't talk on that, but I hadn't heard much about it, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on Messi being involved in the Panama Papers and if there's going to be any repercussion for him or anything like that. I kind of clueless on the matter. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on it. I'll hang up and let you talk.
Okay. Thank you, Cole, for that one. I mean, I can't really tell you too much. It's just that there's been a lot of high-profile people named in the Panama Papers. It's offshore banking. It's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know, but Messi is one of the ones named in it. Do you remember the Stanford financial collapse not far from here where we were doing this show in the studio right in the Galleria? A lot of high-profile people were involved with that. Not the same type of cases. Very differing. I think Mia Hamm was one of them, and Nomar Garcia Parra. But, you know, that was essentially a Ponzi scheme by this guy, Stanford, Jeffrey Stanford. So the Panama Papers, I don't know a whole lot about it. All I know is that Messi has been named with that. He was also named in some tax things. It's a big leak of documents. There's a lot of high-profile people, rich, elite. You know, what are they? I guess they allege that this is all clandestine networking that's been done involving, you know, the Russian President Putin, business ties between FIFA Ethics Committee. It's corruption at its best, apparently. It's called the Panama Papers because it's connected to a Panama law firm called the Mossack Fonseca. So it's all about establishing secret shell companies, offshore accounts for global powers, people that are high profile, huge money. But these documents are going to raise a lot of questions, and Messi's one of the names that's in there. The Kremlin has dismissed the allegations, saying it's a bunch of lies aimed at discrediting Putin. The Uruguayan FIFA Ethics Committee has launched what I guess is a preliminary investigation into a number of people that could be connected to this. It doesn't surprise me. The web of FIFA is not over, by the way. So anyway, I don't know enough about it, but that's kind of the basics in a nutshell. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. So we got a real treat tonight. We've got Alan Kennedy. Alan Kennedy is now 61 years of age. Born in Northern England, which is a hotbed for soccer. 78 debuted for Liverpool. Wins 5 titles there, 4 League Cups, 3 Charity Shields, and 2 European Cups. Scores in the 81 European Cup final to beat Real Madrid in front of 48,000 in France. He's in studio. He's in town. Liverpool supporters group locally. Doing a bunch of stuff with them. Tied in over at the Gorgeous Gale. He'll be watching a game there on Thursday, the Europa League. He's making his run, his way around Houston all weekend. But we've got him in here, and I'm really looking forward to meeting Alan and talking to him about the change of professional soccer now from his time to now, the European Cup Finals, playing for such a storied club like Liverpool, playing with guys like Kenny Dalglish, being managed by Bob Paisley, all these great legends. We'll talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about his time to modern football right now. I'm even going to throw maybe a question about Leicester City to him as well. The Dynamo give a late one up again. Now, you can look at this in many, many different ways. And we'll have the manager, Owen Coyle, on tonight. We'll have him talk about this game. We'll also have Randy Waldrum of the Houston Dash, who will open their season against the Chicago Red Stars. But is it a worrying trend for you, the second halves? And to be fair, it still is kind of a work in progress. The Dynamo probably should have scored 2 or 3 goals in the first half, and I don't think without a doubt they would have went on against the struggling team that's trying to score goals in Seattle. You got Seattle at the best time of the year, despite the fact that, you know, they still have live wires like Dempsey. Jordan Morris is still trying to find his way in Major League Soccer. But in the end, it was points left on the table. It was disappointing. You heard some very strong comments from guys like Will Bruin and DeMarcus Beasley. In fact, you know what, Tyler? Let's run the Will Bruin post-game. This is about 52 seconds with Will Bruin, but I like how strong Will Bruin is in this comment here. 1-1 draw. It's a game the Dynamo should have managed out. There were a lot of positives again. And again, we've got a positive team here, but we just don't want to see them leaving points on the table. In the second halves of games, there are some questions, I think, sometimes. So here's Will Bruin of the Houston Dynamo postgame against Seattle.
Like, when we go forward and we take the game to teams, I think you saw the first 35, 40 minutes, we're so good going forward when we play our game. I think when we try to hold a lead or try to change our style according to the game, it makes a difference in the way we play. So I think we just got to keep doing what we're doing no matter what the score is. And we shouldn't change our game based on who's playing on the other team or what the score is.
What's just the general feeling coming out of a game like this, the two home games ending this way? Just overall thoughts. How do you bounce back for Friday?
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely a punch in the gut, but, you know, the best way to heal is to get back out there on Friday and do what we can to get the 3 points. We can't, you know, in this league, every point matters, and luckily it's a short week, so we get to get back out on the field on Friday. We just got to take our medicine and learn from it.
So that was Will Bruin. He had some other comments as well, just that can't continue to happen. And nobody wants to hit the panic button now. I get that. You know, if you want to simply, again, there's so many ways you can look at this. Now, Will Bruin said we want to continue to keep pressing. But look, number one, you can't do that in 90-degree heat. It wasn't 90 degrees this weekend. You do want to be on the front foot. You do want to elect to win the ball higher up the field. This is what Owen Coyle wants. It is a winger-based team. But there are going to be games where opponents will, without a doubt, you know, are going to get a good portion of the game. So it's that balance in the second half with a 1-0 lead. Did they push enough? Were they urgent enough at times? Was the decision-making good enough? Was the leadership? These are all things you question. It's not a panic. You know, look, simply from a substitute standpoint, the Seattle Sounders subs outperformed the Dynamo subs. That's clear. 713-780-3776. If you were there, you have a comment. The angle that Lionel Miranda took on the ball that was delivered in to lead to the goal, a huge mistake. I mean, why he's coming over the shoulder on the left side of a guy when his angle to defend there should have been just to get into that space and keep him in front of him was bizarre. And these things will cost you games. And I know the Dynamo are working hard to rectify this. Giles Barnes scored the Dynamo goal. Dynamo were all over him. Could have been 3-0 at halftime, and it would have been a completely different day. But coulda, woulda, shoulda. And you got Seattle at a good time. You're getting L.A. at a good time with the whole Nigel DeYoung thing. I think you saw that tackle. I'd love to get your comments on that. Same guy that broke Stuart Holden's leg. Same guy that speared Jabi Alonso in the chest in the World Cup final back a couple years ago. 713-780-3776 is the number. So I'll take your thoughts on the Dynamo. I'll take your thoughts on the Champions League. And I'll take your thoughts on Leicester City, who continues to make history. $21,350 a pair for the final match against Everton on May 7th at the King Power Stadium. Unbelievable. So if you watched the LA Portland game, you saw Nigel DeYoung, who has a reputation. Some have even used the word serial butcher. A career of awful challenge. Probably a guy better suited for playing in the 80s. You saw the horror tackle on Darlington Nagbe. I don't think anything's broken, apparently. DeYoung's challenge is even awkward for his own teammates. Did he go over the top? Absolutely. His quote was this: "It was a ball that came my way. It was 50-50, and normally I always have those balls. But I went over the ball and caught the ball a little bit and caught most of his ankle." This is more from DeYoung. "It was a pity. It was never my intention to hurt him. He's a good kid as well, and I said after the game to him, it's a pity, but that's football as well." Jermaine Taylor, the former Dynamo, said the referee lost control of this game. Lots of ways to look at this. Good news is, I guess that Darlington Nagbe seems to be okay. DeYoung, I don't believe, is going to be playing here. I think there's I don't think he'll be in the game Friday night when the Dynamo take on the LA Galaxy. So 713-780-3776. Nigel DeYoung, Leicester City, and the continued rise. They do it again. Tottenham Hotspur with a huge win, 3-0 over Manchester United. These are all talking points here tonight. I've got tickets to give away. We got a number of great guests. Again, Alan Kennedy will be in studio. We'll have him on in about a half hour. He will come in. So much to talk about here, and we want to get your thoughts as well. Houston Dash opening up. I was in Chester, Pennsylvania. Had the call of the United States Women's National Team with a 3-0 victory. We can weigh in on the EEOC filing from the U.S. women. By the way, right now they're paid better than any in the world. By a long shot. And you know what? If they're generating more revenue, they deserve more. But the time is right for them to make a statement right now. I don't think there's any question. All right, we'll take a quick break here. As we go to break, a couple of things here. First off, Amigo Energy, they want you to save money on energy costs. Whether it's residential or business, it's Amigo Energy for you. AmigoEnergy.com. Get over there. They've got the Nights Free program. You can sleep cool year-round and pay no energy charges from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. By the way, it's already getting warm. I knocked it down a couple of degrees last night. Great rates, friendly customer service, great savings are just a few steps away. It's Amigo Energy. If you want to save money on your energy costs, get over to AmigoEnergy.com. Check out all their different programs, whether residential or business, AmigoEnergy.com. Right now, pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo LA Galaxy at 713-780-3776. Sixth caller, you got him.
ESPN 97.5. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
You know, it's a big deal when a European champion walks in your studio here. We got people running around. We're getting water. We're getting paper. We got two producers working it here. It's an incredible opportunity we have in a moment. Before we get to this, real quick here, DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit, who runs that company, supports this show. Treats every case as if it's his own. 713-364-0915 or toll free at 888-273-1045. By the way, bilingual, English and Spanish, they work for you 24/7. So whether it's a boat, car, chemical exposure, oil field, industrial, 18-wheeler, motorcycle, medical, it's DaspitLaw.com. Look, in your time of need, when there's a lot of nervousness and urgency to get things sorted out, you need a good lawyer. It is John Daspit. It is DaspitLaw.com. All right, we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And we have a real treat here tonight because not only do we have a European champion in here, a Liverpool legend, but Alan Kennedy joins us now, 61 years of age, twice
come on,
won
come
European
on,
Cups. Well, I got a birthday next month.
You know, 61.
And he looks great. And he looks great, and he's here in Houston with the Liverpool supporters group locally here. Have gotten you in here, and it's a rare treat for all of us to.
It's a treat for me to be here. It really is. I'm really enjoying being here, and I've been well looked after, I have to say as well. So had a great time, and this isn't the only place I've been to. San Diego, as well, went there a couple of days ago, and again had a very very good time.
What's your first impressions of Houston?
Very clean, very tidy, very nice, great people. The people I've met so far have been wonderful and have allowed me to, get a drink out of them, which has been very nice. That's not alcohol. I'm not, obviously, right. Don't do that sort of thing.
Alan Kennedy joined us. I saw your schedule, Alan. You're going to be over at the Gorgeous Gale watching the Europa League. We're hopefully going to get it all set up for you.
Yes.
I don't think there'll be any question to go to the Dynamo LA game. Steven Gerrard's a good friend of yours coming in with
wonderful,
the Galaxy.
Wonderful. I did text him and I did email him, and you know, he's sorting something out for me, either before the game or after the game. So that should be nice, and it'll be great to see him again. He's a great, great guy. He really is, and he's put his heart and soul into Liverpool Football Club over the last 17, 18 years, and now he's over here for a couple of years, and the impression I get, he's enjoying it so much.
Yeah, I think he can walk the streets a little bit easier here. Hey, you know, what you just said, though, is fascinating, because this is Liverpool Football Club, right? I mean, the continuing relationships that are built, the history, the tradition. Get into all of that, because, you know, our football league here is very young. We do have history in this country, but Liverpool's dates back so far. European Cups, which you scored a goal in a final, we'll talk about that. But just talk about the tradition and history that goes with the players and the fans.
Well, I mean, the history probably started, the late history we're talking about, with Bill Shankly. He came to the club in 1959, and he transformed it from being a second division team into a top first division team within 5 or 6 years. They won a prestigious competition in the FA Cup. But before that, even there was a guy there called Bob Paisley. And Bob was like always in the shadows of Bill Shankly. Bill Shankly, a great guy, very outgoing, had his principles, stuck by them, and, you know, the trophies started to roll in. And when he retired... And it's so funny, this, because after the 1974 FA Cup final, they beat Newcastle 3-0. And
one of your former clubs.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, I was actually playing.
For Newcastle.
For Newcastle in the game. I was very young at the time, as you've mentioned, my age. So we can say I was 19.
Are you mad at me for that?
No, I'm not. Of course
not.
Don't worry,
I'm aging at the same rate you are. You know?
We're all getting older, aren't we? So Liverpool obviously looked at a guy called Terry McDermott, and they looked at me and thought I was a bit too young to come to Liverpool at that time. They got Terry McDermott, and 4 years later, I managed to sign on the dotted line for Bob Paisley, the manager at that time. But Bill Shankly retired on the back of like winning one of the biggest competitions in English football.
Unbelievable. Incredible names you're putting out here, too. And I want to talk to you about where you grew up, Alan, because I've been to Northern England. I've been to Whitley Bay in the Newcastle area.
And
I spent
it's cold,
a summer
isn't
there.
It? It's very cold, isn't
and
it?
That's, yeah. Well, they thought I was crazy because I actually went in the ocean. It was
you
summertime.
Went in the ocean,
they thought I
yeah.
was nuts. What's this American kid doing? But talk about just such football history out there. Unbelievable.
Every kid plays football, and I know you call it soccer. To a certain extent over here, but every kid played football back in the 50s and 60s. Every kid wanted to play for their local team. And I got the chance to play for my local team at that particular time, which was Newcastle United. I wasn't born in Newcastle. I was born in the other part of the northeast, which was Sunderland. And but I ended up slipping through their net and ended up playing for Newcastle, and mainly because my brother was a professional footballer as well. He was slightly older than me, and I was always following in his footsteps. And he was a great, great player, and went on to play several games for Newcastle, but a lot for a team called Bury in the old fourth division. So he had a great life out of it as well, and his son now plays for Bury as well. So they've done really well. But going back to the point about kids playing football, that's all they ever did. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to follow, you know, in their hero's footsteps at that particular time. And the Northeast was a hotbed of kids just running around and enjoying themselves. There wasn't anything else to do, can I tell you? So we ended up, a lot of them playing football. And I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones.
He's Alan Kennedy joining us in studio, 1981, the European Cup final. Alan Kennedy is with Liverpool. They take on Real Madrid at the Parc des Princes in Paris, 48,000 people. You scored the game-winning goal. Just take me back to that day and just take me back to some of the fondest memories of that day. Maybe some things you've never even said before, if you can come up with them, because I just, the sight, the smell, the way you played, anything, locker room.
Yeah, being in the, you talk about the locker room beforehand, Bob Paisley's the manager. There were several injury problems. I was one of them. I'd broken my wrist in the semi-final against Bayern Munich, and so I was really not scheduled to play. There was other players that were jockeying for my position. Kenny Dalglish had been injured in the semi-final as well, so he was struggling. But I think Bob Paisley, the manager, just wanted to put his strongest team out just to show Real Madrid that, you know, that we're okay. And when he named the team, I was absolutely buzzing. I was jumping for joy. I said to myself, thank you, Bob Paisley, for giving me the chance to play in a European Cup final. And, you know, when you look back on it, you'll think to yourself, I thought to myself, how can I ever repay the man? Well, 81 minutes later, I ended up scoring the goal. And it was something I thought to myself, you know, that man deserves it. Bob Paisley, you know, I didn't really play under Shankly, but Bob Paisley was probably the greatest manager of all time. And we talk about what Sir Alex Ferguson has achieved at Manchester United, but there's other great managers, I promise you, at that particular time as well. But Bob's record is unsurpassable.
Obviously so influential to you. Do you think about him every day?
Is there a
moment in a day where he pops up?
Well, the history does come back into my head every day. Yeah. I do think about the past. I think about the good old days. I compare them with the newish days, but I do think that you know, they were great times, and a lot of people will remember those times that, you know, we won trophies, and that's what Liverpool was all about.
Bob Paisley, the manager for Alan Kennedy in studio right now. So that's the 1981 European Cup final. By the way, that goal I posted on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Go over and see it, because you just take off behind the goal after scoring it with your arms up in the air.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
There wasn't a problem about thing. There was 81 minutes gone in the game, and it's actually looking as though we're going to go to extra time. And I said to Phil Thompson, my captain, I said, Phil, let me go. Just give me the chance to go forward. And he said, go on then. Just do it. Go on. Be a devil. And I ran forward, not expecting what was going to happen, because Ray Kennedy, my namesake, is on the left-hand side. He's got the ball. He threw the ball in, and I chested it down. Their big centre-half. I remember him, the centre-half, coming in. Now, he's coming in to take me out, and he brushes past me. I slightly knock him off, and all of a sudden, it's a case of, like, what do I do next? Do I have a go at goal? I'm 10 yards from goal. Or do I look at the far post? And I saw my colleague, and I remember Bob Paisley always saying, you have to have options. And I looked at my option. I saw a guy called David Johnson. I thought, there's no way in the world I'm giving the ball to him, because he might miss the opportunity. And so I took the ball on one stride, hit the ball perfectly near post. Now, the goalkeeper made the angle a little bit easier for me, because he slightly went to his left-hand side. So he's left a little bit of a gap there. The ball went into the back of the net, and then I ran and ran and ran.
Loved your goal celebration.
If there were gates there, honestly, I would have been out the gates.
Yeah, you
it
took
off. It was unbelievable. And then I had to stop, because there were the Liverpool fans were trying to get on the pitch, and there was a moat stopping them, you know, full of water and then David Johnson came over, and he just looked at me. I can't tell you the words. I can't tell people the words that he said to me, but he wasn't happy.
I have a feeling I know what they might have been.
He said something like, why didn't you pass to me?
Yeah.
But in his words, like, you know, and I said, well, what do you expect me to do? Like, you know, I just had to do what came into my head at that particular time. And it was the winning goal, which was wonderful. You know, I did it for the fans. I didn't do it for myself. I didn't care if Dalglish or David Johnson or Terry McDermott scored the goal. It was about winning the game. Winning the game was important to Liverpool. You know, we've had some games where we struggled. Maybe we weren't as good at our best, but you win the game.
He's Alan Kennedy in studio here recounting probably the most redundant question I could have asked you, right? Describe your goal from the European and I can see just how passionate you are about that. You know, let me just take you into something you just said. You did it for the fans. How much different does the modern game from that perspective look? I mean, you got social media now, you got guys making themselves brands. Is that hard for you to look at sometimes? I mean, or is that just the natural progression of where the game has come now?
I think that's where the game has gone, I'm afraid. And if we look back, we're not solely blaming, you know, when foreign players came to this came to any football club, it's just we had foreigners in our day. We had them from Scotland. We had them from Wales. We had them from...
Those are foreigners.
They were foreigners. We had the English players. I mean, you know...
Stevie Nicol got over there as well.
What a player. What a player. We'll talk about him maybe in a couple of minutes, but you can spend hours on him because he was just the guy that filled in for everybody. You know what? He came to Liverpool in 1981 from Scotland and we couldn't find him a position. That was how good... the players were. Phil Neal, who played on the right-hand side, I played on the left. He could play in our position just as well as what we could, but he couldn't get into the team because Bob Paisley wouldn't change the team. He wouldn't bring in a new kid until he'd served his apprenticeship. And
it's a lot different now.
A lot different.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're expecting 18 and 19-year-olds to make the jump right away and not go through the apprenticeship. And, I mean, the apprenticeship was real stuff. I mean, you were sorted out by the veterans.
Well,
you were doing work for them. You're cleaning their shoes.
Yeah.
All kinds of differing things.
It's not now. I can tell you that for a fact. It's not now. Terry McDermott came to Liverpool in 1974, and it took him about 18 months to even get a first-team appearance. And he didn't know whether that was going to happen and whether whatever, but he got it and he learned how eventually, you know, that you have to be patient at Liverpool Football Club. Players of today sometimes are very lucky. If you have one bad game, somebody comes in. And then if he has a bad game, somebody else comes in. You know, they've got squads of up to 30 players and we had squads of 18 players. And in the first season, we only used 14 players.
And you're hearing the names Alan Kennedy's using. Phil Neal, Phil Thompson, Alan Hansen, Graham Souness, Terry McDermott, famous managers, Bob Paisley. It's pretty remarkable. Kenny Dalglish. Talk about him.
Well, I mean, Kenny was everybody's favourite player, including ourselves as well. I don't think there's been anybody, and you know, we can look at the Steven Gerrards of the world, and I want to mention Luis Suarez as well from you know, two or three years ago. Tremendous player for Liverpool. But over that period of time, you know, we had probably five or six great players that played for Liverpool. Three of them were Scottish, you know, a couple were English, but
you mean foreigners?
Yeah, foreigners, yes. but they epitomised what the game and what Liverpool were all about. They were all about winning. So we set out our stall is to win the game. And we didn't care who scored the goal. And as long as we won, that was the main thing. Dalglish got so many goals, you know, from the likes of Ian Rush, you know, the likes of Graham Souness. We all played together. We didn't really have a system, but we all attacked at once. We all said, right, if we all attack, they can't keep us out. Because, you know, I was a left fullback that played defensive on the left hand side. Phil Neal, you know, scored 59 times for Liverpool. And, you know, the likes of Phil Thompson and Alan Hansen, they just did their job. My job was to raid down the left-hand side, score a couple of goals sometimes, and that's what it was all about. So Dalglish would be the catalyst. He'd be the player we'd be playing the ball into to get the return or not to get the return, and he would be bringing everybody into play. Very, very intelligent player. And he had to... I felt sorry for him for when he came down from Scotland because he had to replace a guy called Kevin Keegan that everybody looked upon as like, you know, Mr. Energetic, Mr. Liverpool, you know, and he was like scoring goals for fun. How can you replace Kevin Keegan?
Boy, he did.
They did it with Kenny Dalglish.
Keegan which went over to, what, Borussia Mönchengladbach in Germany, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He went over there.
That was kind of a rare thing,
Hamburg,
right?
Hamburg, I think it was.
Thank you, you're right.
And then he came back to play against Liverpool, and Hamburg got beat 7-0, if I remember rightly, by Liverpool. And he said, you know, he says, that was on the cards. That he says, you know, I've been away for a year, and all of a sudden, like, you do this to me, like, you know. But I have to say, when you leave Liverpool, you move on to your next, you know, station. But at the time, nobody, no club, and for me, no club in the world were as good as Liverpool Football Club.
Stay with us, because Alan Kennedy is. We're going to have him for another segment here. We'll continue to talk about Liverpool. Alan Kennedy, a legend of Liverpool, in studio here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Amigo Energy, they want to save you money on energy costs, whether residential or business. It's Amigo Energy, AmigoEnergy.com. They've got the Nights Free program. Look, it's already getting warmer down here in Houston. Alan can attest to that. He's been out there in it, and it's going to get warmer. You want to sleep cooler at night? Sleep cool year-round. Pay no energy charges from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. Great rates, friendly customer service, and great savings just a few steps away. Amigo Energy, I thank them and Everard Santa Marina for their great support of Soccer on the Radio and helping us interview a great man like Alan Kennedy. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
You got to love that sound by Jamie Vardy's goal there. It all starts with him with Leicester City and the Foxes. And what a spectacular run this has been. To me, the greatest sports story in the world right now. They've already earned the Champions League place and the Champions League money. And by the way, 1 year here in Houston, coached by a former Leicester star that I'm sure you probably know, Alan, Keith Weller.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I played against Keith on many occasions. Gave me a tough time as well. Good betting into football he was, because he was an out-and-out winger, but great guy, great guy. Love playing against, love the challenge again. But you're right about Leicester. What a story this is. It is unbelievable story. Great story. We talked about this, like how good they were at the end of last season. And when Pearson was in charge, you know, was he going to get the sack? Or I think they won 7 out of 8 games or something like that to stave off relegation. And then, you know, he gets the sack, and who they bring in, the Humming and Haran, is it going to be a local guy? Is it going to be someone else? They bring in Ranieri, and he's just continued the flow. And you know what I admire about the whole team? It's what Liverpool did 30-odd years ago, which was probably what Manchester United did, you know, 20-odd years ago in the 90s. Because, you know, I have to say that, you know, Ranieri hasn't really tinkered with the team. He's kept more or less the same players on every game, no matter whether it's a cup competition or whatever. But, you know, they're coming so close. But, I sometimes you just have this feeling that it might not happen. I hope it really hope it does, but you know, Tottenham are playing out of their skins. Liverpool played them less than a week ago, and I tell you, they gave Liverpool a really tough game, and it was touch and go who was going to maybe get the winner, but certainly one apiece. Didn't disgrace any team. But going back to Leicester, what a team! And I'm so pleased that they've made other teams sit up, and they've made the likes of Stoke City, the likes of Watford, Crystal Palace think, well, hang on, we can do what they did. We're not as strong as them at this moment in time, but it means other teams that you don't think are going to win the league, Give them a chance as well. So it's making the Premier League a lot stronger.
It's healthy. It's refreshing. 9 points, and it'll be theirs. They need three more wins. But I want to go back to Ranieri, because everybody and their mother said this is not the good choice. Even Gary Lineker came out.
And he was not sure. He was not sure. He was like, well, you know, and I think you're scared to say, well, can they do it again? Or, you know, can they keep it going? Mm-hmm. Listen, they were 5,000 to 1 to win, you know, to win the Premier League.
Put money on them?
Well, I think a lot of people have done. They've put that because they died in the wool supporters of Leicester City. Yeah. So they have put their money on, and some will have taken the money because they wanted to cash in a little bit. But it's been so good for football. I remember that
it's so healthy, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
And I think from the perspective of the fan and the story and you know, who was talking about Drinkwater and Conte, right? And now Conte is getting a call up for France. I mean, it's just spectacular.
Yeah, and every player deserves really a medal for what they've done for football, and including the manager as well. But, you know, when Liverpool played them and Vardy scored this spectacular goal from 25, 30 yards, it was, and even I have to say, I applauded the shot because it was just wonderful shot, and it was great that they played with so much power and purpose and they're confident in their own ability. And that's what, centre-halves do their job, goalkeeper does his job. They know exactly everything they know what to do. So why can't other teams adopt that policy? Yeah. That's what I would be saying. So that's why, Alan Pardew, with Crystal Palace and Stoke City, with Hughes, they're good. They're coming up on the rails as well. So they may be thinking, we can catch the Manchester Cities, the Arsenals, the Manchester Uniteds and the Tottenhams of the world. Tottenham have surprised me this season. They've got a good manager, but they've surprised me how consistent they've been in beating the top teams and in beating other teams as well and getting results. I thought they'd struggle. I really did think they'd struggle defensively, but they've got it all together, as was witnessed at Anfield, just last week.
Yeah, unbelievable season it's been. And, let me go back to what you had just said a moment ago, that you applauded Vardy's goal. Have we lost some of the sportsmanship side of the angle of the game from your perspective?
Well, I think football has developed that side of the game. Players, we talk about going down easily, being touched and not touched, and how does a referee distinguish between a foul and not a foul? Yes, of course, it's changed in 30 years, but, is it better or worse? I have to say, I love the days we played. We talked about Keith Weller, one of the great players of Leicester City. You talk about other players who've, the George Bests of the world, the Rodney Marshes of the world, and of course the Liverpool team of the 70s and 80s. They just played football because they loved it. It wasn't about money. And if that's what the players are looking at the moment, then, they want to be thinking, why don't you win a medal? I went to Liverpool to win medals. I didn't go there to be rich. Consequently, other players will be.
But don't you think a lot of guys now platform? They get fat with the money.
Yeah.
And yes, so I'm going to still go out and have a couple of good games, and I'm going to still produce some things. But I'm not going to go. You're tempered by the money, the fame, the riches, and the desire to get to the best, to be the best, might get sort of dulled.
I see. That's where the Leicester team come back for me, because
it's a beauty.
They're not. People will say, I wouldn't buy him because he's not the best. I wouldn't buy him. But when you put them all together, they're the best team, And whether you got 200 million pounds to spend on a team, whether it's Manchester City, whether it's Liverpool, whether it's Arsenal, whatever, listen, I'd rather have that type of team for me, because you can work with players, you can make them better. And particularly, I'm not saying you should go out and buy, a player that costs you 20, 30 million pounds, because it might not work out. But they've certainly put that team together. Now, whether they can keep it next season remains to be seen. But
what do you think happens? Because they're going to get Champions League money.
Yeah.
They win the Premier League, there's more money coming in. They can keep people there. They can protect their assets. Do you think these guys will say, look, this is where we need to stay because this is where we're comfortable? If I go to a bigger club or what is perceived as a bigger club, it might be a different story for me. Why not stay together and produce as much as we can?
I think a lot of the Leicester City players will stay, and simply because they look upon Leicester as maybe it was never a top four club, but now you'd have to look at it, if they do win the Premiership, that they are a top four club, and they're a top club in anybody's mind. And come next season, you know, it probably won't be as spectacular as this season, but, you know, you wouldn't rule them out because they have fight, they have a passion, and that's exactly what you want from players. West Ham were great early season, and you know, their manager was getting the best out of them. They were playing really well. You know, every club has a part of it, and so was Crystal Palace as well. They've come down a little bit now. They found the level, but you know, everybody wants to be at the top. Leicester City have found the answer, you know, and it's by hard work and dedication.
Alan Kennedy joining us here in studio. What a treat this is. So my first year playing professional soccer here in the States, I was roomed with a hardened veteran named Peter Carr. He was 32 years old, and he was on Carlisle and jumped remarkably from the fourth division to the first. So he tells me this story that, and I want you to reflect on this and tell me if you've ever heard this before from other players. He says once he ran onto the field for his first time ever at Anfield, he just broke into tears. He said, uncontrollably, I couldn't stop the emotion and the flow of tears when I ran on the field to warm up.
I can understand why, because it's very emotional. And you see the cop and it's in full swing with the people, and they've got the scarves, the banners, and they're singing their songs. And it's a wonderful, wonderful sight. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we've had lots and lots of great players who've come to Anfield and witnessed the cop and have been emotionally, drained by it, because it's so fantastic. And particularly when I was there, when they were standing, you know, you never knew how many people would actually be in the cop, you know, because they just threw them in there. Everybody got in there, like, you know. So there could be 25,000, there could be 30,000. It was on we talk about it being a mound of earth, but, like, you know, and there wasn't any health and safety in those days, let's put it that like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful place to be. People will always tell you about the cop, why they stood there, why they stood in that same position, why they shouted for their team, you know. And, and great players have been influenced by it, you know. You talk about, you know, players of the past who were just wonderful players who've been silenced by the crowd or by... They never stopped shouting. They never stopped backing us, even though we might be winning. I have to say, at one stage, I know a friend of mine tells me the story when he was at Anfield, and he got bored because Liverpool were winning 4-0, because it happened all the time, you know. And he was like, oh, I suppose we have to clap them. We have to, like, you know, and, you know. But, here we go again. It's another 4-0 victory to Liverpool. It gets boring after a while, like, and that. Yeah. My first ever season there, you know, we scored 85 goals and we conceded 16 goals, like, you know, only four of them at Anfield, and that's that will never be beaten, as that record will never be beaten. It was wonderful. And so when you're running out, you just know you're going to beat the opposition. That's the thing about it, and that's what I want coming back to Liverpool at the moment. You know, with the current manager being in there, he's got to bring his type of players that want to be and want to play for Liverpool. Certainly, you know, going back to my day and other days, we certainly wanted to play for Liverpool because we wanted to play for the fans. We heard all about them. You know, the fans were terrific. We got fans here in Houston as well. You know, we got fans all around the world.
Incredible,
you know,
support with the local supporters group.
I believe so, yeah.
Bring you over. I went there. They graciously invited me to a game at the Gorgeous Gale, which is the pub that they go to. And I mean, Liverpool jerseys everywhere. I saw Paisley on the back of a jersey.
A lovely family. Yeah. A great family. And there's three kids, and they've all got their Liverpool tops on. And give them
amazing. The stretch globally. Yeah. Tell me about the 78 debut, when you debuted. Just tell me about the day you walked out on that field to play the first time.
Yeah, the first ever game was traumatic for me. And I had to remember that being with these players who've just won the European Cup, it was difficult for me to get my mind focused. I was still, let's say, in my head, a Newcastle player. And I was thinking that, you know, right, what do I have to do? There were no instructions beforehand how to play. Bob Paisley brought you in because he saw you as a development and better than the previous player. So when I got out there, and after touching the sign, it was like, whoa. It's a bit... It wasn't a bit too much for me, but I felt my legs were trembling, let's put it that way, and I felt nervous about the whole situation, and I felt as though, like, right, when you get the ball, just calm down. But I never seemed to get the ball, and I was looking for it, and when it came to me, it actually went over my foot out for a throw in, and I thought, well, that wasn't very good. And in my mind, I'm still a Newcastle player, long ball, when Liverpool play short ball.
Passing game.
And it was like, you know, keep the ball. Oh, I was all over the place, like, you know. And then, you know, the famous quote, I'm going to quote it to all your listeners, but I went into the dressing room at half time, and I was sitting there. And Bob Paisley, our manager, came over and he says, Alan, I think they shot the wrong Kennedy in 63. And I just looked at him and I went, oh, thanks. I thought that was a compliment.
That was pretty harsh.
Yeah. He was saying, if you don't buck your ideas up, then you're out of the team. Yeah. And that was it. And it was a case of, like, buck your ideas up or you're out the team. And consequently, I booked my ideas up and I wasn't out the team. But there was always, can I just tell you, always pressure on you. And going
but
back...
But it was a healthy pressure, right? It helped you grow.
Yeah,
it helped you grow your game. It helped push the team on, right?
We had a player called Graham Souness.
With us, Alan, because we got a hard break here real fast, okay?
Okay.
And we'll come back. We'll do a couple more minutes with Alan Kennedy, and then we'll let him go. Check this out, his dossier. 5 First Division titles, 4 League Cups, 3 Charity Shields, 2 European Cups, and I'm sure there's probably a lot more that I didn't even mention. Alan Kennedy is in Houston, Texas, brought here by the local Liverpool supporters group. He's going to be making his way around town. We're going to get him down to the Dynamo game, and he's graciously come up in here in studio to talk to us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more coming up. It's a 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5.